Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, WNYC.org, and joining me here in the studio is Graham Parker, general manager of our sister station, WQXR. That is, of course, New York's classical music station. Hey, Graham.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good. And Graham is here to talk about this fabulous thing that WQXR is about to do. It's their first musical instrument drive. So the station is partnering with Sam Ash Music Stores and Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation to collect your gently used guitars and flutes and violins and other things that are sitting in the back of your closet or in your storage unit somewhere for $29 a month. And they're really never $29 a month. They're always a lot more than that. WQXR is then going to distribute them to public school music programs in the area so students can get some good use out of them. Graham, what an awesome idea. I'm amazed that nobody's ever done this before, or maybe somebody has somewhere, but it's not something you hear about, musical instrument drives.
We're really excited by it. I mean, I think there's such a need in New York City public schools, and as you say, lots of people have instruments. You know, your 40-year-old trumpet career is over. It's time to recognize that, and it's time to get that trumpet out of your closet. Drop it off at one of our 11 drop-off locations across the city, and the drop-off period starts this Friday, March 28th, and goes through April 7th. So you've got 10 full days to do this, two weekends and a business week, and we hope that one of those locations is super convenient for you.
And so we thought to have a little fun with this idea, though it may make it harder for you to part with some of these instruments that are nostalgic in your life, that we would open up the phones for a few minutes and collect your stories about any musical instrument that had a lot of meaning in your life or that one great instrument moment. Pick it. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And just so you get the idea, I'll start.
What do you have, Brian?
I'll tell the story of my high school flute, which I still have, but you're not getting it. I was the first seat flute player in my high school band, Bayside High School in Queens, which means I got to play the big piccolo solo from Stars and Stripes Forever.
Standing up, I hope.
When we did that one time. Well, it wasn't the football marching band that I was also in. We actually did this on stage as part of the big concert at the end of the year. So I wasn't on piccolo, I was on flute, but it was that famous solo. You know, and I totally mangled it. I got lost right out of the box after the first couple of notes, even though I played it a zillion times in my bedroom, and it all went awry. But somehow, my magic flute, on its own, I felt, landed on the right two notes at the end. And my band director, after the performance, when I was all red-faced backstage, said, "Don't worry about it. It ended well. No one out there noticed."
Exactly. Now, normally we have people, that's that old adage, you know, if you start the piece on time and end it on time, what happens in the middle, no one else remembers. But I'm actually giving my piccolo away. I'm going to give my piccolo away. It's a piccolo that I bought when I first came to the United States, and I became a principal flute and piccolo player in the Five College Orchestra up in Massachusetts. And I did nail the piccolo solo in the Firebird. It's a hard solo, but I haven't played that thing for about 25 years. It's time for a city kid to get it.
Right.
And they can play the Stars and Stripes Forever on the piccolo.
Graham Parker setting an example, giving away that piccolo that has sat on the shelf for 25 years. Stuart in Bloomfield, you have a musical instrument story for us. Hi, Stuart.
Hi. You guys are making me want to give away my extra trombone in my closet now, too. But my story is about my drums. When I was 15, my father was the music teacher and director for Murray Bertram High School in New York City. And I was a child, basically a child at that point. And he bought home a set of drums that was extra. The manufacturer sent two when he asked for one, and they didn't pick it up for like months and months. He had no place to put it, so it ended up in the attic. And I played it for about 6 months, annoyed all my neighbors, and I never played again until I was about 42. And now I'm in like a really amazing band with some great guys, Dead Dean and the Conniptions. So,
all right, so there's your drum story. Thank you very much. Let's go right on to Ben in Westchester, who has a stand-up bass story, right, Ben?
I do. It's a simple story. I was in high school playing a cheap electric bass that I had bought at Levin Nelrod with my parents, and I couldn't afford much more than an $80 bass. And when I was in high school, fortunately, a girl heard me playing, and she thought I sounded good, and she related to me the story of how her father, it's their own sad story, the father had played upright bass, and the father had died. They had kept the bass in his honor, but the family was kind of carting around this upright bass, and the neck had snapped off. It was actually in weak shape, and she talked to their mom and invited me to come take the bass. So I went up to Harlem one day, late 70s, little white kid walking around 145th Street trying to find the address, and I eventually carted this giant upright bass with a snap neck home, had it rebuilt by Dave Gage, who's still in practice as a great luthier, and if you're a bass player, he's a good guy to go to, and they fixed it up, set it up, and I still have the bass 30 years later, and it's really changed my life.
That's a great story, Ben. I didn't know you could fix a bass whose neck had snapped. That's a pretty serious injury. Makes me think, though, Graham, that, and Ben, thank you, with respect to the instrument drive that you're doing, you're just looking for instruments that can be carried by hand, right? So I assume that would include an upright bass, but no grand pianos.
Yeah, basically the idea is if you can't get it over your head, we can't really take it. So pianos and really large, heavy percussion instruments, we probably really can't take. But anything else, we want to take it, we'll assess it, and do our very best to pass it on to a public school kid.
Thomas in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. What's your musical instrument story?
Hi, good morning to you. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I started playing trumpet when I was in fourth grade, and I was a very quiet kid and kind of shy and not into too many different things. And my parents convinced me to start playing the trumpet, and for, I guess, a number of years, I did that and I remember many times playing outside in the car because my parents didn't want me playing in the house because it was so much of a racket, I guess. So I practiced out in the car, and I've got a lot of memories about that. But when I finally got into high school, I got into a high school band, and the high school band, we used to do a lot of traveling around the United States, and we're in a lot of different competitions and things like that, and it really brought me into my own then, and I just learned so much by all that. But from all that, it's just like being on a team or whatever. They learn so much about teamwork and working together and doing different things. The band director had his own dance orchestra, and I started a dance orchestra myself that used to play at wedding receptions and dances and things like that, and modeled off of him. And I still today I have so many memories. I have not played my horn in so long.
The trumpet that brought the loner out of your shell.
It absolutely did. And shout out to Weston, who is my high school band director. And I think it's a wonderful thing what you're doing with the musical instruments. I've got a trumpet in the closet here that I plan on donating.
Oh, that's great.
If it does for any child what it did for me, it's definitely worthwhile, and I thank you guys for doing that.
Thomas, I thank you. There's your
thank
poster
you.
Boy, Graham.
Thank you, Thomas. Actually, it reminds me of I used to see like some spring, summer mornings, a bagpiper on the West Side Highway practicing outdoors, because I'm sure practicing in an apartment would have been impossible.
And I should say that we have a link to the list of drop-off locations on our site at WNYC.org. You can click on Brian Lehr Show. It's on our page. And there are a lot, so I'm not going to read them all here, but Sam Ash Music Stores all over the listening area, some of the cultural centers, Brooklyn Music School, Bronx Museum, 92nd Street Y.
Snug Harbor in Staten Island, yeah. We've got all five boroughs covered, and Long Island and New Jersey, and Westchester. So we're well covered.
And you have some related events coming up.
We do this Friday, actually at 1 o'clock at Lincoln Center at the Rubenstein Atrium, which is that fabulous free space that goes between Broadway and Amsterdam at 62nd Street. Alan Gilbert, the music director of the New York Philharmonic, will be there together with some fabulous kids from a school up in Washington Heights who have been a great advocate. They are the recent recipients of a slew of free instruments. They're going to be performing. We're going to have a great moment while Alan drops off a violin. And then on Sunday, actually at Sam Ash on 34th Street, Sir Jimmy Galway, the great flute player, is going to be there with his wife, Lady Galway, playing, I think, with me too, actually. I practiced this weekend. It was awful. But I'm going to practice a little harder. And we invite all flute players to come down to Sam Ash on Sunday.
I won't even try. I have a great violin story here on Facebook. Erica writes, violin, yes. My dad wanted me to be a fiddle player so I could join him in his bluegrass band. My way of rebelling was to play classical violin. And Heather in Brooklyn, you have a violin story too?
I do. I started playing violin when I was 5, and for most of my life it was a pretty contentious situation between me and my mother, a lot of fighting about practicing and so forth. And when I was 15, she was dropping me off at orchestra practice, and I put down the violin so I could have a free hand to close the door to the car. She started driving before I picked up the violin and ran over the entire length of the case, shattering the entire instrument. We had to send it off to be fixed. It took a year. I had to sue my mom's car insurance company to pay for the fixing.
Wow.
And when I finally got the violin back, I continued to play it for a few years, then moved to New York after college, had no money as I was working in journalism. And I ended up selling that violin for quite a bit of money, much more than I would have ever thought, and it enabled me to fund the rest of my, you know, New York stay.
Wow, how about that? Heather, I have to leave it there for time, but that's our second damaged string instrument story. Let's finish up with Jesse in Manhattan. Jesse, we have 30 seconds for you to tell us about that cornet.
I'll go fast. I have a cornet that was given to me by Lori Frink. And for those of you who don't know, Lori Frink was an amazing brass player and teacher, played with Benny Goodman and the Vanguard Band, and she passed away this summer.
And what happened?
I always kind of thought that I would give the cornet back to her, and I didn't get to, obviously, but I feel like she would have wanted me to have it, and often it shows people will ask me about it, and I get to tell them where it's from.
Jesse, I got to leave it there. Graham Parker, last word. Is there a way that schools can sign up to try to receive these instruments?
Yeah, all the information is at WQXR.org/kids. Everything is there for schools. If you want to know how to donate and drop off, that information is there too. So it's the one-stop shopping for the instrument drive.
WQXR.org/kids. The instrument drive begins
this
Friday.
This Friday. It goes through April 7th. So drop off those instruments during those 10 days. There's lots of time to do it.
You can also get to the link through our page if you're more used to going to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. Graham Parker, the general manager of our sister station, WQXR. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.